Sunday last, we started out talking about the change that God has for us and the reality of how that comes to pass. And as we've explored that subject, we've come across many things that the Father has revealed to us. The Word of God says, "My people perish because of a lack of knowledge." Sometimes it is not that God doesn't want to do something for us or with us or through us. It is that He can't. For example, the Bible says that Jesus could not do many miracles in His own hometown. He couldn't. Not that He wouldn't, but He couldn't. Except that He touched a few people and did some minor miracles. Because there was no faith, there was no believing, there was no honor. And many times, one of the things that we lose out on is that we don't honor God and we don't honor each other so that God can do certain things with us and for us. And as we've explored, we said that one of those key factors is the factor of thanksgiving. And we connected thanksgiving with praise and reverence today. But we did say Sunday night last that it is not sufficient for us to be thankful for every little thing God has done for us, little or great, because that can become an entrapment. You can get stuck in, "Oh God, thank you for this," and you stop there. But God says, "No, no, no, I don't want you to stop there. I have more for you. But for every stage that you come through, be thankful. For every experience that you come into, be thankful. For every opportunity you experience in me, in life, be thankful. Be thankful for all things. For God causes all things to work together for our good." Amen? So we went to that stage and talked about that, being thankful. And today we built on that aspect of change, by saying that this change that God is talking about is not the kind of change that diminishes. God wants to continually take us higher and higher and higher. No matter where you find yourself, there is not one person on planet Earth that God has created, that God created to be less than what He has purposed in Himself. He created every one of us in His image and His likeness. He did not create us in the image of angels, or the image and likeness of dogs or monkeys. He created us in His image and in His likeness. And so our mindset and our attitude must be that which honors the greatness of God in us. But not just the greatness of God in us, the greatness of God in my fellow brother, in my fellow sister, in my fellow neighbor. Loving God and loving neighbor as one loves themselves. Now, one of the things we did say was, don't assume that anybody owes you anything. Driving down some of the narrow streets, thank God the streets here are not as narrow as the streets in Britain, in London. But when there's a car parked on one side of the street and you're coming down this two-lane street and there's another car coming and you have the right of way and that person stops for you to go through instead of squeezing, and both of you are squeezing through this tight spot, you can assume, well, It's my right of way. But be thankful that they didn't squeeze you. So when I'm driving and somebody stops and waits for me to come through, I wave at them and say, thank you. Now that may sound annoying to the next, so whoever it is that's riding with me, and say, why are you waving them thank you? That's your right to be on the road. Yes, it's my right. But it's my right also to be thankful that they did not cause me to squeeze. So what else do? I speed up so that they don't stay stuck there. You know, some people just drive down the street and they know that you're waiting and they slow down, crawling like turtles. No, pick up speed. The other person has something to do too. Yeah? So be thankful. It's something small, but be thankful. Because that's how God causes blessings to come your way. Amen? Today we're going to go a little bit deeper yet, tonight. And I want to explore a passage of scripture that I have explored with you in time past. But I did touch on it a little bit this morning. So I invite you to come with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. I'll do my best to go quickly through this particular passage. We did touch on verse 10 earlier today, but this is how the passage starts out. Isaiah 58. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. It says, cry out aloud. Lift up your voice. Let them know they are doing something wrong. Verse 2 says, yet they seek me daily. They seeking me daily. That's a good thing. And they delight to know my ways. That's another good thing. As a nation that did righteousness, they are seeking me. They are delighting to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. In other words, they believe they are on the right. Are you with me so far? They ask of me the ordinances of justice. Say, God, justice. We want justice. They take delight in approaching to God. There's nothing bad in all of that. They delight in approaching not to God. Afterward, the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. So they're doing all these right things. So what is the problem? What's your sin then? Verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not. We've been fasting. We've not only prayed, we've fasted. And you don't see. It's like you're blind, God. Can you see all the right things that we are doing? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? And thou takest no knowledge. Like you somewhere, and God, you're acting like you're brain dead. You don't take any knowledge at what we're doing here. He says, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exert all your labors. Problem number one. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the feast of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. What is God saying? He's saying, yeah, I see what you're doing. I see your fasting. I see that you're doing spiritual warfare here and all of that. He says, hold it. That's not exactly what I'm looking for. You're not scratching where I itch. You're doing all kinds of stuff, but that's not it. Is it such a father I've chosen? That you're beating yourself up, you're hungry, you're doing everything possible that you can do in your own ability. Is this the kind of father I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now think about the acceptable day of the Lord. The acceptable day of the Lord is a day of total freedom and jubilation. Is this the fast I've asked you to go into? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? You've chosen yours. Well, let me tell you where my itch is at and what it is that you need to do. This is the fast I've chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. You're looking for justice for yourself. But I want you that your fast be that you see other people that are in bondage and you are doing everything to see that they are free from the bondage that they are in. Whatever that bondage is. To undo the heavy burdens and to let your oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. God says, that's the fast I'm looking for. The fast, God, that you're looking for is a fast that is not about me, about other people, that they walk free, that they walk in divine freedom. It's not about me, myself, and I, and God says, exactly. That is the mindset I want you to have, to remind yourself that life is not just about you and what makes you feel good, but that you seek that other people experience freedom. He says, when you start doing that, that's the kind of fast I care about, and that's the kind of fast I am going to reward. Now, the average believer fasts for more anointing. I'm going to go on a fast so I get more anointing. God says, more anointing. I am the Christ. I live in you. I work through you. If you're dead and I live my life through you, you are anointed. I have given you a promise that the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. You want more anointing? No. The reason I came here is to destroy the works of the devil. And if you want more anointing, that's what I am going to anoint you for, so that you can destroy the works of the devil. And guess what? Jesus did not come to destroy the works of the devil for himself. He came to destroy the works of the devil for you and I. So the most effective prayer is not the prayer of you praying for yourself, God bless me and my family and my friends and, well, forget about the other people. Just think about us. That's not God. God is about me receiving and being a blessing. Amen? He says, I want you, the fast I've chosen is for you to loose the bands of wickedness. Where you see wickedness operating, release people from those bondages. You see somebody struggling, pray for them. Don't go there and start judging everybody. Well, if they had gone to school, maybe their life would have been better. Okay. How different is that from the guy who is born blind and the disciples are saying, who sinned, his father, mother, or himself? He says, no, that's not the question. The question is this: I must do the works of God while it is yet day. Don't spend your time dwelling on all the reasons why this problem. The, this is the reason why this problem, and this is the reason why this problem, and this is the reason why this problem. God says, I want you to be involved in bringing about solutions. I want you to be solution-minded. Break the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens. You see somebody kind of load? Take the heavy load off. Help them. Assist. Let the oppressed go free. Those that have been oppressed, let them go free. And break every yoke. Yokes that limit, break them. He says, that's what I want you to do. That's what God is calling us as a church to do. To have the heartbeat and the interest of the heart of the people rather than judging everybody. Well, if only they did this. No. What can you do to set them free? How can you be of help to them? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Person is hungry, give them bread to eat. And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. Those that are pushed out, bring them to your house and minister to them. Bring them shelter. Bring them clothing. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Oh, those people, they're coming again. Lock the door. Turn off all the lights. What's it? I want you to be there to help. To be part of the answer, not part of the problem. Amen? Verse 8. Then, somebody say then. Shout it out loud. Then, when you have done all those things I told you about, then shall thy light break forth. Your light, then shall it break forth. Now, what is it saying? Your light is there. It has always been there. There. It's not saying, then shall your light be turned on. It says, then your light shall what? Break forth. Until then, it is being held. And your time and your season doesn't come. Watch this. Then shall thy light break forth as the what? Morning. Before the morning light came on, it was dark, wasn't it? But as we said this morning, 24/7, there is light on planet Earth. While we are going into the dark here, somebody's coming into the light. Yes? And God says, as long as you are not living your life to love other people, to be a blessing to them, your light will never come. It will be sunlight for somebody somewhere, but it will never be sunlight for you. Because you know what? Somewhere on the planet, there are places on the planet where it is dark for 6 months. And then it is light for 6 months. Yeah? And we're very close to it. True? Okay. So, you can stay in the dark. And you can stay in the dark for as long as you live on earth and never experience a breakthrough if all you do is live life for yourself. How I can get blessed. And God saying, no, 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 that's not how you do it. It's not about how I can get blessed. It is how I can be a blessing. That's the key. How can I be a blessing? You know, one of the most successful aspects of life today in business especially, is to be in the service industry. Now, what do I mean by that? Every business has to be service focused. Now, when you're service focused, you try to identify problems that people have even when they don't know they have the problem. Let me give you an idea, a thought for a moment. Once upon a time, people that called me got a busy line and they knew they couldn't talk to me. Then came something called call waiting, which meant that now I can hear somebody else coming and I can switch up and put somebody on hold, answer this person, and deal with that business. Until somebody told me I needed call waiting, I did not know about that. Until somebody came up with the idea, you know, why are we wasting, if I want to communicate with somebody at the other end of the world and get them to respond to me right away, until somebody thought about that and tried to solve that problem, why are we waiting 2 weeks? Letter goes there and letter comes back. We wouldn't have had something called emails. Are you with me so far? Somebody identified a problem and did something to service that problem. And guess what? They ended up with money. Are you with me? Because they identified a problem. Now, when you and I focus our attention in trying to be a blessing, guess what God does? He gives us ideas. He generates ideas in us, in simple, ordinary people. Not everybody who is making it out there came from some big, wealthy family. Some of the businesses that are making billions today started in somebody's garage. And they didn't have to start with $20,000. Just an idea. Just an idea. That idea, trying to solve a problem. Skip the dishes. Huh. It's making lots of money. Guess what? An idea. An idea. Uber. An idea. Ideas. People renting their houses to guests coming to town, Airbnb. An idea. Service. How can I bridge the gap? And from doing that service, benefit came to them. There are billions of ideas that God can birth into our spirit. Things that nobody has thought about or even has any inclination to think about, that God can birth inside of your spirit, birth into my spirit, and we start doing creative things, and people says, wow, why didn't I think about that idea? Well, because you are not focused on servicing somebody. Servicing turns things around. It causes us to be creative. How can I solve this problem? How can I solve this problem? How can I solve this problem? So, child of God, let me give us a quick point of reference. I think one of the greatest prayers you can pray is to pray, God, what problem have you called me to solve today? What problem have you assigned to me to solve today? Everybody has an answer for some problem somewhere. What problem has God called me to solve? When you go to work, what problem can you solve? Hallelujah. Because that's how those bondages get broken. Then shall the light break forth as the morning. You'll break forth by serving other people, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Your healing will be restored speedily. I need to fast some more before I get healed. And God says, I want you to focus on solving somebody's problem, and you're going to see that your health is going to spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. Your righteousness is going to go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I am going to back you with my glory. The glory is all that God is, but you remember that the word glory is first used, kabod, is first used as a statement related to wealth. So when God, the glory of the Lord becomes your reward, it is the resources of God will back you. Amen? God will bring resources to back you so that you can accomplish what you need to accomplish. He will send you help because you are focused on helping somebody else. Hallelujah. That's how our light breaks forth. Verse 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Hey, we've been fasting and you didn't hear. And God says, that's not the problem. The problem is you are so into yourself, I cannot deal with you. But when you start focusing on finding out how you can be a solution to a problem, then I'm going to answer you. Then thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Huh? You mean the fasting God is calling me to fast is not to shove away my hamburgers and my hot dogs and my fettuccine and my whatever, you know, push the plate away from me? That's not exactly what God is asking me, but to look for problems to solve? And God says, yeah, that's what I chose. The one of you getting very hungry, that's what you chose. What I chose is for you to try to be there to solve people's problems, to be an answer. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, accusing people, pointing your finger at them and saying, well, this is this and that. He says, if you stop doing that, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. And that word obscurity there is a Hebrew word that means rise out of darkness. And thy darkness be as the noonday. In other words, I'm going to speed it up so fast that it is not just a rising, but I'm going to get you to the perfect day. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. No matter how bad things are in the economy, when there's a drought, I will satisfy thy soul and make fat thy bones. In essence, people will look at you and they will not see any sign of drought, of starvation. You're robust. And he says, I make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, not drooping leaves, dried up, but your leaves are wide open, your flowering happening. He says, I'm like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Why is that happening? And God says, because you're busy taking care of people. You're praying, and your prayer is not about me, myself, and I. Your praying is about, God, how can this problem in my city be solved? We have a situation with meth in our city. We have a situation with murder in our city. We have a situation with divorces in our city. We have a situation with streetwalkers in our city. We have a situation with people arson in our city. God, how can I be an answer? What can I do? What can I do? How can I help? What kind of solution can I bring to the table? And God says, if that's your focus, I'm going to back you. And that must be the focus of our church as individuals, as a corporate body. God, how can we be the answer and not be part of the problem? How? I know you will back us, but what must we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, believe in the one who's been sent. What was he sent to do? To destroy the works of the devil. If you believe in the one that was sent, and he was sent to destroy the works of the devil, then by your believing in him, you are also believing that he has anointed you, because he indwells you to destroy the works of the devil. Not to go about broadcasting how bad the problem is, but broadcasting what the solution is. By breaking the bonds of wickedness. Some of the situations we face in our cities are founded directly on people who are there to gain from the misery of other people. What do I do about that? Pray them out of business. Pray them out of that position of authority, and see godly men and women take those seats of leadership and do the right thing. Do the right thing. Here we are. Thank God for Christian schools. Maybe someday we'll have one too. But this is the deal. How is it that Christians are busy pulling their children from the public school system so that they can build this haven of safety for their children? Yeah? Now, what is the result of that? We are no longer parents who have children in the public school. Therefore, we cannot attend parent-teachers meetings. Now, we don't have a say in that school division. And so whatever it is they want to do, they have free range to do it, because we've taken our children off to protect them. But guess what? One day they're going to graduate from that school, aren't they? And they're going to go to work, and they're going to be amongst the same people that we pulled them away from. And guess what? Those people are the larger group, and they influence the child that you took out of school to protect, because you want to do it in your might and in your power. There's a place for Christian schools, but not every child is supposed to be out of the public school system. Because I tell you, you are taking that child that is supposed to face life, I'm planting that child inside the living room, But one day, that plant is going to go outside that living room, outside. And when the rain pours and the sun shines and the wind blows, your protected baby here dies. What happened? What happened? You are trying to protect what God needs to protect. The one that God placed in there to be salt. You remove the salt. Now there's decay and everybody's stinking mess. And now you're complaining. What are you complaining about? We moved away from politics and gave it to the world, and now we complain. How is the bands of wickedness going to be stopped if you are not involved in the politics? Who said politics is evil? There's nothing evil about politics, except if you give it to the God of this world and he runs it. Or else you and I say, you know what? God can raise me up to be a leader in my community. I will be involved in my community. And guess what? You don't just show up and become a leader in your community and everybody knows. No, you serve. You volunteer. You put your name out there and people start talking about you, and you don't know all the people that know you. I was amazed this evening. I was busy doing some cleaning up and giving away some stuff, you know, to people, furniture and whatever else after service. And here comes one of my neighbors and says, is this good? I said, yes, you can have that. And says, thank you so very much. And she stays longer and she starts telling me about my name and mama's name and what we are doing, talking to my son-in-law about his house that he's building. And I'm looking at this. How do you know this, all this information? This woman was scary. And it dawned on me. You think nobody knows. There are things that people know about you that they know when you are about to eat and when you want to go into that washroom. They know it. So be the best that you can in servicing them. Let them know the love of God. Let them know the power of God. How do you know my name? Oh, I've been watching you. I watch you on television. You say, oh my. I'm not hidden after all. You think you're hidden? No, people know who you are, and they are expecting certain things from you. And if you and I are not giving it, they wonder, do they really believe? You think they don't know that you're a Christian? They know. And they're expecting you and I to act in particular ways, the way God expects us to act. He says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They that shall be of you, that mindset, your children, your children's children, those that come after you, those that you're impacting, they are going to build old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. You're going to impact father and their children and their children and their children's 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 children for generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Just by starting to minister one person at a time, one person at a time, one person at a time, influencing one life. You never know what that person is going to be. They may be behind bars today. But God may use you to reach behind those bars and begin to bring healing to them. And one day, those prison bars will open. And just like Peter came out of the prison, while the soldiers that were there to keep him in there were still standing guard, and he walked out, and the iron gate opened of its own accord. God will cause the people that you pray for, minister to come out, and the enemy still thinks they are there. He's still standing guard. But they are long gone. Long gone. Out. Creating havoc for the devil. Hallelujah. So, let's live our lives and not focus on, I got to go to church and I'm going to be blessed by the Lord. God says, you know what church is? Church is going to the byways, the highways, the no ways. I'm touching lives. It's touching lives. Let's say, leave a word. Let that word of God do in them what it did for you. You got saved because of the word. Trust that word to do the same thing for somebody else. Amen? Well, let us stop there today. I'm certain that the Lord has left enough word for us to embrace. The greatest blessing that God calls us to is to make certain that people that do not know God come to find God because of what we say, because of what we do, how we carry ourselves. Because as we do so, God will reach them. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to myself. Amen? All heads bowed. Tonight, if God has spoken to you and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you say, you know what? I want to live this life that the pastor is talking about. I want to go beyond myself, just thinking about me, myself, and I, how bad things are for me. And I want to switch off from that and begin to say, God, get me out of this mess, but not just get me out of this mess, help me to impact another life. Let somebody else receive grace and mercy and know salvation. I want to give you my life and say, God, I want to turn my life over to you. One of the songs we sang today is, I give myself to you. I give myself away so that you can use me. God cannot use you until you turn your life over to him and you say yes to his will and to his word. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you're listening to me online right now and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to respond to this invitation right now by just raising your hand and say, I want to give my life to God. God, I need you in my life. If you're here and you want to do that, just raise your hand. If you're online, even though I cannot see you, raise your hand. God sees you right where you are. And he will touch you right where you are, right this very moment. And a new beginning will start for you. Your light will come out of obscurity, out of darkness, out of the place of total defeat. And something incredibly wonderful will happen beginning now in your life. Raise that hand. Praise the Lord. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I ask, oh God, right now that my life turn around for your glory and for your honor. Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise